It is not an heroic story, such as that of Franklin and his companions chewing leather on the banks of the Coppermine River, but having got there, it is difficult to envy Franklin. Of Ives seeing for the first time the great canyon of the Colorado, of Garnier reaching the headwaters of the Yangtze, or of Bailey and Morshead travelling 1,600 miles on foot through the gorges of the Tsang Po. We were born too late for such feats, even if we had had the courage and determination to perform them. We were even prevented from emulating the painter James Fraser's long journey to the sources of the Bhagirathi Ganges, one which is made by numerous pilgrims, by the coming of the snow and our own meagre resources. It is not a book about India today. Neither is it concerned with politics or economics. It is certainly not erudite, as must be obvious to anyone who has the patience to read it. It is about the river as we found it. In most standard works of reference, the Ganges does not even rate an entry in the tables which list the great rivers of the world, for it is only 1,500 miles long from its source in the Himalayas to the Bay of Bengal. The Nile, the Amazon, the Mississippi, Missouri, are all more than 2.5 times as long as the Ganges. The Irtysh and the Yangtze are both twice as long. The Congo, the Yellow River, the Mackenzie, the Niger, the Danube, the Euphrates, the Brahmaputra and the Indus, to name only a few, are all longer. But all the same, it is a great river. It is great because to millions of Hindus it is the most sacred, the most venerated river on earth. For them, it is Ganga Ma, Mother Ganges. To bathe in it is to wash away guilt. To drink the water, having bathed in it, and to carry it away in bottles for those who have not had the good fortune to make the pilgrimage to it, is meritorious. To be cremated on its banks, having died there, and to have one's ashes cast on its waters is the wish of every Hindu. Even to ejaculate Ganga, Ganga, at the distance of 100 leagues from the river may atone for the sins committed during 3 previous lives. In almost any bazaar in India, one can buy a little oblong paperback book. It is rather like a book of tickets for some eastern tram service. It contains 2 works, bound up together. They are the Ganga Stotra Sata Namavali and the Ganga Sabhasra Namastotra. They enumerate the 108 and 1,000 names of the Ganges, all printed metrically and in columns, so that they can be chanted devotionally. But unless one is an expert in Sanskrit, as was Colonel Pickering in Pygmalion, it is impossible to understand them. She is the pure, the eternal, the light amid the darkness, the cow which gives much milk, the liberator, the destroyer of poverty and sorrow, the creator of happiness, to give only a few of her names. The 108 names of the Ganges are enumerated at the end of the introduction. The Ganges was not always so highly regarded. When the Aryan invaders first entered India, they were more impressed by the Indus. It was only later that they gave Ganga the highest position, as Sursari, River of the Gods. Perhaps because they had found out what European scientists discovered later, that its water has remarkable properties. Bottled, it will keep for at least a year. At its confluence with the river Jumna, which, particularly at the time of the great fair which takes place there every January, contains dangerous numbers of coli, the Ganges itself is said to be free of them. At Benares, thousands drink the water every day at bathing places, which are close to the outfalls of appalling open drains. They appear to survive. The presence of large numbers of decomposing corpses seems to have no adverse effect on it. Before setting off, we were advised that when we wanted to make